Now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slam of pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really couldn't devour him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Turn it up.
Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are once again here on a Tuesday evening, live and in living color, as Dusty Rhodes would say. Interestingly enough, I did my little Hard Times rendition last week and wrote an article about it on the WrestlingInc.com. A little bit afterwards, well, actually the next day, that Wednesday, I wrote a tribute to old school, an article called Retro Wednesday, every Wednesday, and the Hard Times promo was the one that that I wrote last week. But of course, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. I am Chris Featherstone, as always. And Derek, our Raw correspondent, will be on the line a little later on for the Raw and for the Raw episode, and also for our Flavor of the Week. Our Flavor of the Week this week is the five wrestlers. Very interesting topic this week and next week, actually. Five wrestlers who should have never been in the Four Horsemen. Most of them are going to be based on just popularity, wrestling ability, and one of them could be argued, but we're going to state the case that this person, if booked right, would have made a good horseman, but was not booked to be a horseman, so to speak. So for all of you wrestling fans that really get it, for all you very wise wrestling fans, you probably know what it is. You probably know who it is, but that's one of the five that we're going to go a little bit more in depth as far as explaining why we believe that this person was not a good horseman overall. So it's going to be really fun. We're going to have a great time. Of course, Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling. And Destination X, we got some fun stuff. I got some fun stuff to talk about that this week. The very first televised free TV, free of charge, non-pay-per-view episode of Destination X. We saw a big surprise, so we'll get to that later. And I don't think I answered the trivia question last week. The trivia question and answer last week was Bob Backlund. He managed Kurt Angle for a short stint in the WWE. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Of course, throughout the week, give us your comments on Facebook. I'm going to start reading Facebook comments more. I get some Facebook comments throughout the week, and I'm going to start spending more time on reading them. So like the Crave Wrestling Facebook page. So definitely check that out as well. We just have a whole lot of fun every week. Throughout the week, writing articles. I write articles throughout the week. And then, of course, Derek does a lot of work throughout the week to make this show the best we can have it. So I also want to thank Caprice Coleman for last week just a phenomenal interview. He has some good comments on his page. I've got good feedback through different media outlets, and I posted it the next day on WrestlingInc.com, so he got some more exposure. And then speaking of that, I, like I said before, and like I always will say, thank you for all of the inquiries so far. Feel free to advertise on the Crave Wrestling show, the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Like I said, there's many media outlets that I have. We got, by the way, we got some big things coming up soon as far as some really, really good, very, very interesting affiliations that we are going to announce in the coming weeks that is really going to launch this show to a whole other level. So I'm very, very excited about that. But many media outlets, of course, Twitter, Facebook, and then we have Bleacher Report that I write my articles on, as well as WrestlingInc.com, two of the biggest sports media sites, pro wrestling affiliated sites in the nation and the world. For instance, I just wrote an article last week about Randy Orton, a potential cash-in date for Money in the Bank for him, and that almost got a that article alone almost got 100,000 reads. So, and I want to thank all of the supporters that I have for Bleacher Report, WrestlingInc.com as well, but Bleacher Report, just, I mean, I'm so humbled by the just amazing support. I'm almost at 3 million reads in just a little bit over, 15 months now? Almost 3 million reads, and that is just absolutely amazing. So keep it up. Keep up the support. You all make me do what I do with that much more passion. I thank you guys so much for doing that. Tweet at Crave Wrestling. Let's get on to Raw here. Right quick, before we get to Raw, let's throw out a trivia question. What was Wildcat Chris Harris's name in ECW? What was Wildcat Chris Harris's name in ECW? Like I said, tweet at Crave Wrestling or log on to the chat room for that answer. That's not necessarily an icebreaker. A lot of people do know who that is, but some people don't. Not necessarily an icebreaker, but we'll start off a little bit difficult this week. All right, so on Raw, we got first John Cena and the Daniel Bryan contract signing opened up Raw. Brad Maddox scheduled multiple matches with Daniel Bryan, believing that he wasn't good enough. Very interesting there. So we saw a gauntlet match that happened on Raw. Alberto Del Rio defeats Sheamus. Good match there, actually. For the people in attendance that I saw different reports of people in attendance, and they said the match was pretty dead. I actually thought the match was good. I thought it was good. And I actually wouldn't be opposed to Sheamus going against Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship. I actually believe Sheamus had a good run last year. I was expecting him to have it longer, but put on the big show was a surprise, and it was a nice little surprise run for the big show last year. Putting him back on him now, I'd be fine with. He hasn't had the world title in about a year now, so I'll be fine with it. Booker T and Teddy Long backstage interview. Now, there's so many reports of what they want to do with Booker T and Teddy Long. We'll get the SmackDown as far as the new general manager being crowned. But you know, the thing is, you know, I'm a big Booker T fan. A lot of people know that he's one of my best. He's one of my top favorite wrestlers of all time. So I am pro. I'm pro Booker T. One of the things I don't understand though is what happened on SmackDown, and because of that, there were, like I said, there's been some reports that there's some reports that say that they're going to actually feud, and then you know there's some other reports that says different. So you know, I don't necessarily know what they're going to do with them now, since they're you know both not in a specific role right now. So it'll be interesting. From what that interview depicted, foreshadowed last night was that it seems like Teddy Long is going to be the heel, and he was scheduled to be the heel according to the last reports of that. So we'll see what happens with that. I don't imagine nothing big going on with that. However, you know, I'm a big fan of Terry Long as well. He busts his butt for so many years in the business. You know, I'm totally fine with him being back, or with him still being on the roster, on the main roster. So we'll see what happens with that. Christian defeats Titus O'Neil. Interestingly enough, Christian is he came in, and I was just so disappointed with the reaction that Christian got upon his return. But the thing is, I do see that they are trying to give him a little bit more pops. Because beforehand it was just mostly dealing with his pops was mostly the claps that he would start, and he was just calling. On an article on Bleacher Report, he would just kind of claw and scratch his way to get some type of reaction, and he just wouldn't get over. So, you know, now I see that he's starting to do what he did during his Intercontinental title reign, and that's to just fight mid-card wrestlers, and I'm totally fine with that. I think that's actually good for him. That's a good way to establish him more again as a babyface, which I definitely believe that he should stay there. He should stay a babyface. They need him as a face. And I like Christian's work. I'm a big fan of Christian's work. I definitely like his work throughout his career. So we'll see where they go with that. And I definitely hope they really at least give him some type of push. Not necessarily now, because we're in the heat of SummerSlam season. So I think that eventually we're going to see more of Christian. I hope, at least I hope so. So next, looks like we haven't got a answer yet as far as Chris Harris's name. I'll answer that. It's Braden Walker. His name was Braden Walker. Had a very, very short ECW reign. I think WWE.com just posted some article about I don't remember the number, but a certain amount of wrestlers, kind of like one-hit wonders, so to speak. And Braden Walker was one of those. Unfortunately, it was kind of sad because he had a really good push and was just about to become TNA World Heavyweight Champion. But, I mean, he just is, and what's unfortunate though is that he just got so out of shape and just kind of he just kind of let it all go, and it's really unfortunate. Just really got in really bad shape, and I really hurt him. That hurt his career, especially his career in TNA, because his for a second he was booming. I mean, his career was booming. So it's unfortunate. Somehow, you know, for some reason, WWE saw something in him to bring him. Saw enough in him from TNA to bring him in, but didn't last for long at all. All right, and then we had a Ryback backstage interview. That didn't mean anything. Ryback is just such a waste of space now. I mean, he's not over as a main eventer. He's not over as a heel. He needs to resort back to something. He didn't even have the Feed Me More, the Ryback Rules. It's not catchy. He didn't even have any vocal other than the lyrics of the song, the Feed Me More, or nothing like to even get excited about his music. Nothing. I mean, just he just comes out and just fills spots. Last week's Raw, he wasn't even on the show, with the exception of the very last segment. And this is before the payback. The Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Well, this is a little bit. This is the one after the Money in the Bank pay-per-view. Didn't do anything, you know, after that. So, I mean, this guy, he really needs to get repackaged. I mean, and that's an understatement for him to get repackaged. He desperately is in need of a good run. My suggestion would be to count your costs, count your losses, turn him back face, because he was way more over as a face than he is a heel. And have a feud with the Big Show. Have the, you know, make the stipulation, you know, have the thrill, have the anticipation be brought upon if Ryback could get Big Show in the Shell Shocked finisher. Because that's really kind of how they booked him and Mark Henry for WrestleMania. So I think that would be a better direction for Ryback. Turn him face. Have him feud with Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship. There you go. He'll get the Feed Me More back. You know, he'll get some type of crowd reaction. Right now, he didn't have anything. He has his Ryback Rules, and that just doesn't cut it. It just don't cut it. He's not being utilized right. He has potential. I like Skip Sheffield, you know, Ryan Reeves. I like him as a wrestler. You know, people criticize his wrestling ability, but he's decent. He's a decent wrestler. Not good by any stretch. He's a decent wrestler that can be kind of carved, because we saw it with Batista. Batista was stiff. He was an incredibly stiff wrestler when we saw him as Deacon Batista in the beginning stages of his solo career as Batista. But as the years evolved, as the years came, Batista ended up being a pretty decent wrestler. And we saw that with matches against Edge. We saw that with matches against The Undertaker. So Batista, Triple H was another person. John Cena was another person that he feuded with. So he had many. Rey Mysterio was another person he feuded with that showed him, you know, kind of helped him hone his craft. Shawn Michaels was another person that helped him. Randy Orton. I'm just naming all these wrestlers that helped Batista hone his craft. And he ended up being a pretty good wrestler, respectively. I mean, definitely not one of the best. But I would say, you know, above average wrestler, slightly above average wrestler. And I think that Ryback could be carved to that with some time. but they have to put them in the right spots. They put Batista in Evolution. Batista turned face. He feuded against Triple H. He won the World Heavyweight Championship at he won the world title at WrestleMania against Triple H. So, and then after that, he had a good, very, very good face run towards the end of his career. Had a very, very good heel run when he turned on Rey Mysterio. So they really booked Batista very good. And with Ryback, they have the talent to do that. They have the talent to make him a reasonable or make him a better wrestler. I mean, another thing, if they turn him face, he could feud with Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental title. He, you know, as a main eventer, he didn't cut it. So why not make him a mid-card champion? Why not make him feud with Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental Championship, or even Dean Ambrose for the U.S. champion? We have, just if you think about it, every title except for one, if I'm not mistaken, every title except for one is held by a heel. You have the WWE Championship, John Cena, face. World Heavyweight Championship, Alberto Rio, heel. Intercontinental, heel with Curtis Axel. U.S., heel. Dean Ambrose, tag team, heel, Shield. Or Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. So Ryback as a babyface would benefit his career much more, especially if he wants to vie for a mid-card or a world title, because him being with, feuding with John Cena was an absolute failure for Ryback. Mark Henry calls out the Shield. I do like the, and I wrote an article about this too on Bleacher Report. As long as Mark Henry keeps the edginess to him, the aggression, the dominant aggressive, no nonsense, edgy heel with all the intimidating ad libs, I'm fine with him being a face. It's totally okay with me. I like what they're doing with him and the Shield. It looks like it's going to be a 6-man match heading to SummerSlam. I prefer them split it up. I prefer them do a tag team match again, and then with the Usos and the Shield, Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins, and then a U.S. Championship match with Mark Henry and Dean Ambrose. And why not have Mark Henry win the U.S. Championship? They can have him beat Ambrose, have the U.S. title for a little while, and Ambrose possibly win again, or the Shield go back to their old, gang attack days, because that's their bread and butter. That's what really got them on the map. And because they don't do that as much no more, they're just kind of the thing of the past, on their road to it, at least. So the Shield needs a little bit more thrill to be a focal point on Raw or SmackDown. Usos make the save, and then the Shield retreats. Next question, who were the members of the Brood? Who were the members of the Brood? Then we get Dolph Ziggler versus Darren Young. Bad day for the primetime players, by the way. And they had a really funny segment, funny video on WWE.com app, I believe it was. You can check out Titus O'Neil's Twitter page, and it has it on there. They were kind of talking about how just discouraged they are by losing, and they need to kind of revamp a little bit. So that would be quite funny. Chat room got it pretty quick. Got this one pretty quick. I see that we have some Attitude Era fans in the chat room here. Edge, Christian, and Gangrel is indeed the correct answer as far as the members of the Brood. And my next question is, what city did Bill Goldberg defeat Hulk Hogan to become World Heavyweight Champion? All right. So next, like I said, Dolph Ziggler versus Deion Young. Relatively good match. I mean, and the thing is, kind of like Christian, Dolph Ziggler needs these matches to be put on the mat to establish himself as a babyface, as a pure babyface, because initially it just was not working for him. He was getting boos. It just was not working for him. But putting himself in, involving himself with just matches against mid-card wrestlers would definitely help Dolph Ziggler. And being in the match with Deion Young, who's not a bad wrestler, helped him. And I think that slowly but surely Dolph Ziggler starting to mold himself as a babyface. Don't know how long it'll start, but I think that they are really doing a good job with booking this feud with him and Big E Langston. I'm sure Ziggler's not happy about it because he was in the world title hunt, but at least he has a more focused feud with Big E Langston, because him and Del Rio, their feud was just off. Of course, you know, include the concussion by Dolph Ziggler, put him off for over a month as champion. So I definitely think that the feud with Big E is booked and written a lot better than him and Del Rio. It was just an odd pairing between the two. And Del Rio, he needs a big threat. He needs like Sheamus, or he needs Ryback would be a good option, but he's not an option because he's face. He needs Mark Henry, and Alberto Del Rio would be a good pairing. So, you know, hopefully, maybe even the Big Show. Speaking of the Big Show, he was supposed to return on Raw, but there were some reports about him being injured. He was limping at the pre-show Money in the Bank, so they were trying to build him up for an angle. Build him up an angle for SummerSlam, but doesn't look like, at least yesterday, at least on last edition of Raw, it doesn't seem like they're going to risk it for him physically. They've got a little bit of time left, 3 weeks or so. All righty, next we have. So far, not the right answer for the city that Goldberg beats. I'm thinking about giving a hint, but I think it'll give away too much. I think I'll say this. He was very brave to be in that city. He was very brave to be in that city. There we go. There's your hint. All right. Miss TV was a Total Divas cast. That was just dumb to me. I can understand that they're trying to give them some publicity, some promotion. But Eva Marie healing it up and slapping Jerry Lawler. People don't even know you, first of all. And then for you to heal it up like that and slap Jerry Lawler. And the stuff that he said, I mean, the stuff that she said, Eva Marie said, I definitely don't understand why they would put so much focus on doing that, a segment of that, at least. Yeah, I mean, and plus The Miz needs to be in some type of feud going on. You know, he's hosting SummerSlam. But I guess that's probably the best thing that's going for him right now. Other than that, maybe turn him heel soon. Because he's not so much working as a face. I like him as a face. But the fans that happened, the fans throughout the country don't really give him a good reaction. Next we have Cody Rhodes versus Fandango. That was a good way to establish Cody Rhodes back as a face. I guess you could say back as a face. He started as a face, I think it was 2007. But that was just a bland run. Going against heels, mid-card heels at least, would definitely help people like Cody Rhodes, like Christian, Dolph Ziggler, just kind of put themselves back into the fold as solid baby faces. It's even helping RVD, and his work has been very good. The chat room said I said it wrong. It's Fandango. I apologize, chat room. There you are. Well, one person at least said in the chat room. I don't think anybody else are Fandango fans. Certainly not myself. But that match was decent. Randy Orton versus Fandango was much better. But I definitely think that Fandango can be used as Val Venus. So I definitely think that someone like Cody Rhodes would help. So, and I like Cody Rhodes' face run. I like the fact that they're having him become a babyface. I like the difference. I like the newness of the freshness of his character, and I definitely think that it will help him a lot. And the Sandow and Cody Rhodes feud is definitely a good idea. It's new, it's fresh. For the World Heavyweight Championship, not so much. Not really a fan of it for being for the World Heavyweight Championship. However, I do think that it's something that is different, and it's something that's much needed to be able to help them just reestablish both of them as characters, because their team was just incredibly awkward. CM Punk promo interrupted by Paul Heyman on the Titantron. Punk challenges Lesnar at SummerSlam. Heyman accepts on behalf of Lesnar. It was a decent segment. Last week was much, much better. Very, very poignant last week. Very heartfelt last week. You can tell that they were really putting their all in the promos. I definitely have all types of respect for Paul Heyman, and I respect CM Punk too. I think that he's a good worker. But as I shared with my colleagues before, I don't ever see myself as a CM Punk mark, and I will spend a Flavor of the Week segment one of these weeks, real soon. Next week we already have our Flavor of the Week topic, but I think that I'll spend some time in the Flavor of the Week episode really saying something about CM Punk in the future. So I definitely think that I will be doing that soon. Next we had RVD against Wade Barrett. I definitely, like I said before, I definitely think that Wade Barrett is unfortunately he's starting to be expendable now, unfortunately, I definitely think that Barrett has the ability to become someone good, What they're doing with him is just really, really, really unfortunate. They change his music like every season, it seems like. And the past few theme songs have been pretty good. But now, as far as what they're doing with him, just totally, totally, totally unfortunate. And the problem is that Wade Barrett has the potential. He has the ability to become someone to really be someone big. However, the unfortunate part is they're just not going to utilize them the way that they should. So we'll see what they do with Wade Barrett, and I definitely think that if we see more of this Wade Barrett in the near future, it hurts me to say this. It really hurts me to say this, but he may be future endeavored sooner than later. And that really hurts me to say, because I'm a supporter of Wade Barrett. I like the guy. I think he has a ton of potential. I think he can be a top heel. I just don't think that we'll see him in a major role anytime soon, and it's really unfortunate. Like I said, still no answer with the whole Brave question, with the whole Brave thing. I'll just go ahead and give it to you. We have all the people who are tweeting and on the chat room is not doing too good this week, so I challenge you to step up on your trivia. The answer is Atlanta. They were in Atlanta in 1998 when Goldberg defeated Hulk Hogan on an episode of WCW Nitro, Monday Nitro. Next question is, who was the voice of the Shockmaster? Who was the voice of the Shockmaster? But I talked about Wade Barrett, but RVD is just doing great. He's just really impressing us. Really, really impresses with his work. Definitely so much better than Impact Wrestling. And he's really got back in better shape. And he's also showing us that he can be a top guy. He can be in the hunt. He can be RVD and Alberto Del Rio face each other on SmackDown. So we'll see where that leads us. It may lead us to another match at SummerSlam, which would be quite interesting. I don't know if I'd be a fan of RVD winning the World Heavyweight Championship this just a few weeks out of him coming back, but at least him being in the World Heavyweight Championship picture would probably be a good idea. Next, we have a Daniel Bryan Gauntlet match. He defeats Jack Swagger. He defeats Antonio Cesaro, which was such a amazing, amazing match, with Antonio Cesaro even chanting "This is awesome" a number of times by the crowd, and then right back he wins by DQ as a result of being powerbombed through the table, and then Cena makes the save and challenges Ryback to a tables match next week, and Brad Maddox and Vince McMahon books Daniel Bryan versus Kane next week. Again, I still have no clue what Ryback has to do with this, and one thing I surely do not hope is that Ryback gets thrown in the match in triple threat style. So at SummerSlam, that would be absolutely awful. All right, we're about to have Derek, our Royal correspondent, on the line. Before he comes on, I'm going to answer the question that was already answered in the chat room. The question was, who was the voice of the Shockmaster? And the correct answer is in the chat room is Ole Anderson. Interestingly enough, he was the voice of the Shockmaster, but that was another Retro Wednesday topic that I wrote on WrestlingInc.com. That was such a horrible, horrible gimmick. Fred Ottman, falling from the very beginning, and mask coming off, and after that, it was just doom from there. So, and what's so interesting about that was they even had a gimmick called in the WCW called the Super Shockmaster, and his gimmick was just really, really awkward too. He had a mask and like a full body suit, just like a singlet. After the Shockmaster gimmick didn't work, and that was even worse. What was so interesting is that he was the same character, but he presented himself as the nephew of the Shockmaster, and he referred to the Shockmaster as Uncle Fred, and even Dusty Rhodes made a jab at that on one of the Legends of Wrestling shows. Just a horrible, horrible, horrible writing. And once again, that goes back to just the WCW writing at the time. Just really, really bad. Very unfortunate. All right, we're going to bring in our Royal correspondent, Derek, on the line. What do you have for us today, sir?
Well, yeah, for us today, I want to congratulate Chris on having a wonderful career here on Pancakes and Power Slams, and also his opinions on Booker T earlier. I agree with him. I like Booker T a lot. I hold him at a high echelon. And with Teddy Long, is he going to be a face? I mean, what's going to come out of this? I'm kind of interested in it. I didn't think much about it when I saw it last night, but that kind of reiterated the fact that this is something that should be addressed, so good job. Good looking out. This is Derek, Raw correspondent with the Raw Rundown. Started out, Maddox claims that Bryant is insufficient when he was started off Raw with John Cena. And Bryant comes out, has words with Cena. Maddox announces that, you know, Bryant's going to have to go through a series of matches, more like the Chris mentioned gauntlet matches with three people. That started off Raw, kicked it off. Del Rio versus Sheamus. That was a great match. Del Rio kicked Sheamus, kicked his gimp leg, and Sheamus kind of faltered for a bit, collapses when he goes for the white noise. Del Rio gets the win. Is there going to be more between these two? I'm pretty much sure there will be. So, you know, to me, Del Rio's a great competitor. I like him as a heel. He's a good face. I mean, he's good both ways. They're both all-around good wrestlers. And to pair these two up can just lead to bigger and better things. Captain Charisma, known as Christian, versus Titus O'Neil. This was a big win for Christian. It was really exciting. I've been a huge Christian fan ever since he first debuted. Well, you were talking about it earlier when he was with the Brood, the guy on the chat room. Was able to name all three of them. I was there front and center when that first happened. That was excellent. Lights go out. There's a bloodbath. But Edge and Christian went on to be bigger and better things in the tag team division. Anything Christian can do, I'm totally behind it. Big win via the kill switch over Titus O'Neil. Mark Henry addresses the assault that took place previously on Raw. Took place, and the Shield came out again. As soon as Mark Henry was doing his whole spiel about he's proud of himself, this, that, and the other thing. I'm a huge Mark Henry fan. I really like what he's doing, kind of the beaten puppy type of escape, if you want to look at it that way. So, however, though, the Shield really came out again. It was kind of comical in a way. It just I hate the Shield. They beat me up. And as soon as he says that, they come back out. But they whimpered away after the Usos came out. And Jerry Lawler, everyone had mentioned how, yeah, you don't really see, you've never seen the Shield go away that quick. They're getting kind of stale. I like the Shield. I still like the concept. However, there needs to be a rapid change within the faction. There needs to be something to keep us interested. Mark Henry's great. I really hope that he goes on to be WWE champion. So, but again, I want the Shield to do something to create the excitement when they first started. I mean, that was a great time, short stint in wrestling. I want them to keep that up. After that, Cena confronts Bryan backstage. And the thing about John Cena and this whole Bryan thing, I like how Cena kind of shows respect towards Bryan, kind of treats him like a little brother. But I also like how Bryan stands up to him and says, you know, look out for yourself. You know, don't worry about me. I can do what I want. And to me, that really shows, I'm not a Cena fan, much like Chris Featherstone, but that shows it makes good for a story. That going into SummerSlam, the pay-per-view main event, that you know, John Cena doesn't want to dismantle this kid, but also knows that he earns the shot that he has, and he's good for it. I'm all behind Daniel Bryan. He's really made a huge success of himself in the past few months. I don't need to tell you that. You just need to watch Monday Night Raw to realize it. Dolph Ziggler versus Darren Young. With a zigzag, Dolph wins. Langston charges out with AJ. After a scuffle, Dolph gets out of there and says, this still isn't worth it. Yeah, he starts crying. You know, you didn't see Mae Young cry. You didn't see Missy Hyatt cry. Miss Elizabeth cried a bit, but that kind of reminded me when Hulk Hogan and the Mega Powers split up, and Hulk Hogan was getting sweet with Miss Elizabeth in certain ways, but not really, but kind of made you realize it. So, yeah, there's going to be a feud with them, obviously. We're going to see that come on. Yeah, AJ's tear speaks loud, and she's really kind of regressed from what she was a few months ago. With that in mind, the Miz TV with the Divas discussing their new show on E, that was a horrible, that was a wasted space. That was stupid, that was dumb. I don't want to spend any more time on it. Fandango versus Cody Rhodes, that stupid Sandow, doggone. He interferes and costs Fandango the match. That is not fair for Fandango. He was robbed. Again, this happens to him all the time. Of course, Sandow means to disrupt Cody Rhodes, but that doesn't happen, does it? No, he cost Fandango the match. And Cody Rhodes, he's getting a push. It's going to be a good rivalry between the two, but you know, Fandango, leave him out of it. He's got better things coming to him. He doesn't need this disruption. CM Punk has it out with Heyman. Heyman claims that Brock is his best friend. It just kind of shows the typical Heyman garbage that goes on. He just, to me, I have no respect for Heyman and his role. That's what he wants you to think. That's what he wants you to be. He has created ECW and whatnot. But I don't like the Paul Heyman figure. I don't like the Paul Heyman character. So it's working. It's effective. And the CM Punk being all, again, with the puppy dog look, you've abandoned me. How could you do this? So Brock Lesnar has a lot to say to CM Punk with his fist. That's going to be a great struggle. So I'm looking. It's good. It's good. I'm not a Paul Heyman guy. Never have been. But he's really positioned himself into a great storyline here. Let's keep that going. RVD with Barrett. Classic RVD aerial assaults. RVD wins. That was a great win for RVD. It was an exciting match. Classic RVD. Can't stress that enough. Absolutely great. Bryan versus Swagger. First match for Bryan. Swagger taps. Cesaro jumps in as the second opponent. That was an excellent match, as Chris has mentioned earlier. Those two together absolutely defined, again, what Bryan can do. Almost lost it to him. Didn't happen. Next out, Ryback. Bryan really... Bryan was definitely taking Ryback to the mat. Ryback DQ'd by throwing Bryan through a table. Typical Ryback fashion as of late. Cena runs out to break it up. Cena challenge Ryback to a tables match next week. Backstage, McMahon coaxes Matt out because you have Brian wrestle Kane next week. I love Team Hell No. Team Hell No has been suspended for a while. I'm anxious to see what's going to come out of this. Brian is definitely, I think, worthy of John Cena. This is Derek, Monday Night Raw correspondent, signing out. Back to you, Chris Featherstone. I'll join you in a few Flavor of the Week. Thank you.
Fantastic, as always. To close out the Raw segment, I'm actually going to read a tweet from one of the supporters of the show and followers of Crave Wrestling on Twitter. We got Wrestling Connoisseur at WrestlingFan2K. The tweet says, was the World Heavyweight Champion Money in the Bank outcome, was it more about pushing Rhodes as a main event face than it is Sandow as a main event heel? I think that it very well could have been. I think that I kind of alluded to it before. They both needed a fresher character. They both needed some type of push going with their characters, because they have good characters. So I think that they both are good enough to be major players. I'm still not big on Sandow, honestly, but Cody Rhodes definitely. So I think it was a little bit of both. Thank you, Wrestling Connoisseur, for submitting your question. If I have time, I'll read more questions, but submit your questions at Crave Wrestling throughout the show, throughout the week, and let us know how you feel. All right, let's go to SmackDown real quick. A Tay Long in-ring promo, out comes Booker T, then Vince McMahon, then Brad Maddox, Booker T, Tay Long, and Brad Maddox all jockey for the GM position, and Vince McMahon chooses Vicky Guerrero. Dolph Ziggler defeats Jack Swagger. Decent match there. Ziggler has some words to say about AJ. The camera shows AJ going off backstage and the Big E issues. Kisses her on the forehead and walks away. Like I said, I like how they're building that. Very good job. The Usos versus the Shield led to Ambrose interfering quickly and then Mark Henry making the save. Daniel Bryan defeats Wade Barrett. Miz TV Paul Heyman. Decent. Curtis Axel defeats Chris Jericho. I'm not going to go too far into that, but yeah, when I have more time on another show, I'll have my words to say about Jericho's run again. I have before, and it bears repetition. Yeah. Chris Jericho once again loses and doesn't do anything for Curtis Axel. So we'll talk about that another time. Ryback appears post-match and takes out Jericho. I guess that's their choice of a write-off. Damon Sandow interview calls out Cody Rhodes. He tells Cody that he forgives him and offers him to be the protector of the case. Cody hits Sandow with the case and attacks him. Randy Orton defeats Alberto Del Rio. That was the end. That was a good match there. Del Rio takes the loss. They're really trying to push Randy Orton, which I'm fine with, but at the same time, I don't quite understand why they would have a clean win from Orton and Del Rio for the world. He's the world champion. An interesting thought that I came up with the other day was, I wonder how it would be if Randy Orton was the world heavyweight champion and also held the case. I'm totally not for unification of the titles, but it would be interesting little shift in the interest there. You heard it first from here. Pancakes and Power Slams. You heard it first here. And then Orton loses the title, the World Heavyweight Championship, and then on the same pay-per-view gets the WWE title, whatever pay-per-view that may be. Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, that would be quite interesting. That'd be quite interesting. I think I'm going to write an article about that on Bleach Report. Check it out. All right, let's go to Impact Wrestling real quick. Destination X. And Kentucky. And first we had the Bully Ray in-ring promo. Before I go further, what Armstrong brother was part of the Young Pistols? What Armstrong brother was part of the Young Pistols? Bully Ray in-ring promo, it calls out Brick Hogan, refuses to let her move on, causes Hulk Hogan to appear. Main Event Mafia appears on Jumbotron. Austin Aries defeats Bobby Roode. Roode trashes announce table post-match. Sanjay Dutt defeats Homicide and Petey Williams. That was a sick gringo killer on Petey Williams. It really seemed like he was hurt bad. Manic defeats Kenny King and Chavo Guerrero. Interesting WWE references by Mike today. Main Event Mafia in ring calls out Aces and Eights. Aces and Eights backstage lures Main Event Mafia into a room backstage, and it locks them in, but puts Angle in the bed of a truck and speeds off. And then Greg Marasculo, a.k.a. Trent Beretta, defeats Rockstar Spud and Rubix. So Marasculo, Manic, and Sanjay Dutt are the three contenders for the Ultimate X match this coming Impact Wrestling to determine the new X Division champion. Mickie James in-ring promo interrupted by Gail Kim. They get into a scuffle. Two heels for the Knockouts Championship. It's a bit odd to me. And then the shocker, ladies and gentlemen, Chris Sabin, he won. He defeats Bully Ray to become new, the TNA World Heavyweight Champion. Like I say, every week I write an article on WrestlingInc.com called the Impact Wrestling Review. I go into have a thorough synopsis review slash part editorial on the Impact Wrestling episodes every week, so go check that out on WrestlingInc.com, Impact Wrestling Review. I go more in depth in the Chris Sabin and Bully Ray match as far as what I feel about that. All right, we're going to go to ROH, and then we're going to go to the Flavor of the Week real quick. ROH, Roderick Strong defeats Adam Cole by DQ because Steve Corino, he's been doing this for a few weeks now. Seems like he's trying to recruit Adam Cole to be a member of Scum, which may eventually happen. But he throws a chain in the ring, and Roderick Strong grabs it. He kicks Roderick Strong, and then he picks it up, and the referee sees Cole with it, calls the bell, and upsets Adam Cole. And then the main event was Jay Briscoe defeating Matt Hardy. Then that led to Scum coming in and destroying the Briscoe brothers. So that was the moment that they were written off. There's some contract things going on with them, but Mark was announced to be in the ROH title tournament. So we'll see. We'll see if they patch things up, or we'll see if we've seen the last of the Briscoes in ROH. So, all right, well, let's go to our final segment of the night, Flavor of the Week. The Flavor of the Week is going to – matter of fact, Steve Armstrong is the one that someone on the chat room said the other name of the Young Pistols, which was the Southern Boys or the Wild-Eyed Southern Boys. But Steve Armstrong was the correct Armstrong that was in the Young Pistols. All right, let's go to our Flavor of the Week. We're going to talk about five wrestlers who were in the Four Horsemen that Derek and I don't necessarily believe they should have been a part of that group. So, interesting discussion coming up. We're going to say the names. We're going to have a synopsis on them, and then we will go from there. All right. Just a very, very quick backstory of the Four Horsemen. Dusty Rhodes had a Dusty Rhodes tour in '85. That's where he cut the Hard Times promo. Then that lead, he was feuding with Ric Flair. We experienced the Dusty finish at Starrcade of '85. He ended up winning the match at Great American Bash of '95. And then there was, Great American Bash of '86, Dusty Rhodes won. In '86, also developed a group called the Four Horsemen in the NWA, which consisted of originally Ric Flair, Arn Ellie Anderson, then known as the Minnesota Wrecking Crew, and also Tully Blanchard, who was a very, very notable mid-card star at the time, had the TV champion, U.S. champion. Well, in '86, he ended up winning, but he was also the national heavyweight champion around that time. So, and then he was with Baby Doll, and he fired Baby Doll to get with J.J. Dillon. '85, he also feuded with Dusty Rhodes for the TV title. He was very, very notable, very, very good mid-card wrestler. In '85, he also had the U.S. Championship. He beat Magnum T.A. for it. So, and the Starrcade '85 also the same. The same pay-per-view as Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair also had an I Quit match between Tully Blanchard and Magnum T.A. as well. So, you know, that's the origin of the Four Horsemen. And then they had a bunch of just different reincarnations. Ollie left, Luger came in, Barry Windham, and then Sid, and then Paul Roma, and then, you know, a whole bunch of other names. So, with that being said, we're going to talk about the five names that did not fit the Horseman mold. Now, we're looking at decent, I mean, average size wrestlers, maybe a taller enforcer that's athletic, but just have a cavalier, elitist mentality to them. But even has the opportunity to be cheered by, you know, the diehards because of their just, you know, brash mentality. So, with that being said, I definitely believe we're going to start off with one name that that could have been argued to be a member of to be a good member of the Four Horsemen. But unfortunately, he's going to be, and this isn't a top five. These are just five names we're just throwing out. And we'll start off with Curt Hennig. Now, Curt Hennig could have been a good horseman, but the thing is, he broke him up. He joined the NWO. He had the opportunity to be a good horseman, but he was just reluctant for a while. And then he finally joins, and that leads to one of the most censoring spots in WCW when he just rammed the door, the steel cage door, and Ric Flair. That was just excruciating. So, and then so can't really put him as a good horseman when he was just there, just to join the NWO and just kind of break the horseman. So we'll put him in the five for those for that purpose.
Oh, you put him in five for that purpose. This is one list that I could put, one of the lists that I could put Kurt Hennig as the worst. Again, just for the fact, his arrogance, his perfect mentality. It was beautiful, the way it was set up in the steel cage match where he ran that door into Ric Flair's head just soon after Ric Flair inducted him into the Four Horsemen. Kurt Hennig, Mr. Perfect, again, I would not say he's the worst at anything, but tongue-in-cheek, he was the worst Four Horsemen because he actually broke them up. So I'll give him that much. And who else do you have? I'm curious to know.
We also have Jeff Jarrett. Jeff Jarrett's another above-average wrestler. Not bad. He did prove towards the latter parts of WCW that he was main event worthy. I have an interesting story about Jeff Jarrett real quick. This is a good story before we semi-bash him as far as professionally when it comes to the horsemen. I was driving, I was on my way to home, and he lives nowhere near me. I mean, I live probably about three or four states away from Jeff Jarrett. And I was driving home. This had to be probably about, 2009, 2010, on my way home. And I just decided it was at night. I don't remember what time. 9, 10 o'clock at night probably. And I was on my way to go home. I decided that night, instead of in the morning, I'm going to go ahead and get some gas for my car at that night, because I didn't want to. I had to get up early in the morning, have some things to do, work, things of that nature. And I said, you know what, I'm not going to feel like, I'm going to sleep in about 10 or 15 minutes more. Have to get up early in the morning, so I might as well just get my gas now. And I went to the gas station, and I saw someone go into the gas station, the store. I said, wow, it looks a lot like Karen Angle. Angle at the time. Looks a lot like Karen Angle. Wow, that looks remarkably like Karen Angle. And I know that she was dating Jeff Jarrett at the time. They were about to be married, on their way, or just getting married, on their way to get married, or it was around there, just almost, or just got married. And I said, wow, that just looks so much like Karen Angle. And so I looked around, and I said, okay, well, she, you know, I'm sure that, I just want to make sure that I'm not just hallucinating or something, I don't have just weird Karen Angle dreams or fantasies. And I was just looked around and said, okay, well, I wonder where she came from over there. So I just kind of put two and two together and just thought, like, maybe I'll see Jeff Jarrett. Lo and behold, I see Jeff Jarrett putting gas in a truck, in his truck. And I said, wow, this is just remarkable. And so I go over to the gas station, and I'm just like, you know, just, you know, introduce myself, let them know, you know, my affiliation with wrestling, and basically, you know, he was just a real classy guy, and we talked for a second, took a picture with him, and met Karen Angle, and he gave me two tickets to an upcoming TNA show in my area. Good seats, and took a picture with him. So, I mean, wow. You know, just a really random occurrence to see Jeff Jarrett. And I asked him why he was in my area. He said that he was coming from a show, and they were low on gas, so he decided to pull in the state that I live at and get gas. So it was just really random. They just decided to pull in my state and get some gas heading back to Tennessee. So really interesting. So with that being said, that's the lighter part. As far as the Horseman, he still had the spaghetti strap gear on, the long hair, had Deborah with them feuding with Mongo. Just a really, really odd, really, really odd time for the Four Horsemen. And I definitely think that it wasn't a good idea. This is 1997 that he was in there. And it just at the time, it just wasn't a good idea for him to be in the Four Horsemen. Just didn't fit whatsoever.
Yeah, it didn't really fit that well. And you know, Jeff Jarrett, again, my hat's off to him. He is an awesome wrestler. He's with the WWE, with Tennessee Lee, and even with busting his guitar over and you know, slap nuts and everything. And I've got my own Jeff Jarrett story. When I was in the Indies, I met Jeff Jarrett. I was like three or four months in Heartland Wrestling Association. And we did a show in Fort Campbell, Kentucky. It was about 5,000 to 7,000 people there. The showcasers were Jeff Jarrett, Raven, Road Dogg, and Al Snow. And I had went to the beer tent to buy a bunch of beer for all the wrestlers. I was given like a $100 bill. Buy all the beer you can and take it to their campers. And Jeff Jarrett, I took it to him. He was on the phone at the time, his cell phone. And he stopped the conversation, asked me what my name was, all that kind of good stuff. So, great, you know, welcome to wrestling. You've been in 3 months. That's awesome. Keep going, doing what you're doing. And he was very nice, very respectful. And so I can't say anything bad about Jeff Jarrett because personally he was nice to me. And it ends up that, you know, Raven was probably the biggest jerk of them all. And I'll say that. I met Raven personally. He was a jerk. But anyway, Jeff Jarrett was awesome. He was very respectful and nice to me, being new into the business, knowing the passion I have for this business. So Jeff Jarrett, again, for the Four Horsemen, he's not a Four Horseman. He's not that material. He's a good heel. He's good at pretty much anything he does as far as wrestling goes. I mean, he's very well tuned into that. But a Four Horseman, he is not. So what else have you got for us, Chris?
Great story, by the way. Next, we have Sid, that was in there 90-91. Just the another enforcer role took the place of Lex Luger and then Barry Windham, and Sid were all just the kind of tall enforcer roles. Flair has definitely been very vocal about him not having, not being really favorable. It wasn't a favorable decision for him to have Sid in the group, and he just kind of stuck out like a sore thumb. He just didn't really fit into the mentality of the Four Horsemen, didn't really fit into the wrestling style of the Four Horsemen, and just overall just wasn't a good fit.
Not really a good fit. Yeah, he started like in 1990. And they feuded with Dudes with Attitude. You remember them?
Yeah.
Sting, Luger, Steiner Brothers, Orndorff, Junkyard. And if you can kind of remember, he was a part of the Halloween Havoc of 1990 when Sid Vicious ended up defeating, actually they thought it was Sting, but it was really Windham at the time.
Barry Windham.
Who was also a member of the Four Horsemen. So Sid played his role in the Four Horsemen, but again, he was kind of too big, too loud to be a horseman. Horsemen are more humble, more honed in their skills. So it wasn't a good fit. He played his role, but didn't really gel. So back to you.
All right, next we have none other than probably the worst Horseman member that I can think of, period. I cannot really think of anyone else. Actually, the last two was really bad. And I'll save the worst for last. I didn't say it was a top five, but I think that there's probably one, in my opinion, that was just the worst of them all. I'll save that one for last. I'll save this one for next to last. Of course, we're going to put Macho McMichael in there. Yes, he was U.S. champ. Yes, he had some decent feuds. But he was not, I mean, similar to what Derek was saying, too loud, too boisterous, not just really even-keeled like the Horseman style is. And don't get me wrong, Ole Anderson was very, he was very, matter-of-fact, very bullyish when it comes to the Horseman, but it was still tactful, though. It was still very conniving, tactful when he would just really maul people, him and Arn. But Mongo, he wasn't a very good wrestler, just real awkward in his wrestling skills, and for him to be a Four Horseman just really took so much prestige away from the group as a whole. I mean, that was just such a horrible, horrible, horrible addition, horrible thought to even add him to the Horseman, period, and to make it happen the way that he did. And he was a Horseman for a few years, actually. And just to even think about having him as a Horseman with the level of wrestling that he had and the wrestling style, just really, really awkward, and just, like I said, just didn't fit in the style whatsoever. What do you think, Derek?
It was June 1996. He was in the Great American Bash. He was a former football player, actually. He played in the NFL.
The Bears.
Mongo McMichael.
The Bears.
The Bears. Oh, the Bears. I got a pole of sauces lodged in my artery. However, it was again Mitch Max. During the match, you know, he had the biggest thing about Mongo McMichael, who was even bigger than him, was his wife, Deborah. Who, if you eventually remember, went on with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Deborah had horrible cookies. However, yeah, Mongo McMichael, another useless person in the Four Horsemen, never really came much out of him. I don't really have much else to say other than he was a football player for the Bears, and Mongo McMichael, he had a wife named Deborah.
Yeah, the Bears. All right, last but not least, we have, my opinion, the worst Four Horsemen in the entire team. And Mongo was pretty bad, in my opinion. But no one tops Paul Roma? What? This guy was a part of a jobber tag team in the Young Stallions with Jim Powers in the mid-80s, mid to late 80s, that went absolutely nowhere. And then him as a singer, and then Power and Glory was decent, but they didn't really jump off as much as they wanted him to, as much as they wanted to. They never won the tag team titles, although I did like the team. It was a good team. But they never won the tag team titles. So in 1990, for some odd reason, the Herd era, the Jim Herd era, in 1993, I apologize. In 1993, for some reason, they said that Paul Roma was the man with the plan, and he was the addition, the choice addition to I'm sorry, I apologize. This is right after the Hurt era. Not, like, this is the aftermath of the Hurt era. Hurt was from 88 to 92. But for some odd reason, WCW at the time, they were still hurting from the aftermath of Hurt, and this definitely didn't help anything as far as blaming it all on Hurt, because this was in 93. But for some reason, they found it fitting to put Young Stallion, Power and Glory, mid-card tag team wrestler at best, Paul Roma, as a member of the most prestigious faction of wrestling history, the Four Horsemen. Now, this went absolutely nowhere, and it was a complete bust. A complete bust. And just, and he, it was a battle bowl, in 93, it was the same year. I mean, he turned on Arn Anderson and formed a team with Paul Orndorff called Pretty Wonderful, which was actually a good team. They actually won the tag team titles. I was cool with Pretty Wonderful. But he should have came in as Pretty Wonderful. I mean, making the decision to put him as a Horseman member, what in the world did he do? Him and Arn Anderson did win the tag team titles. They beat up. They won from Steve Austin and the Hollywood Blondes, but Lord Steve Regal was substituting for Pillman at the time. But they only held it for a little over a month. So just mid card at best, Paul Roma. After Pretty Wonderful, just never really did anything after that. I just cannot believe that they would decide to put Paul Roma out of anyone. And at least Mongo had a very reputable, very popular NFL career. But Paul Roma, mid-card at best, and his mid-card days weren't even impressive. What do you think, Derek?
Well, the thing about Paul Roma, I agree with everything you said. You pretty much summed everything up. Paul Roma, when he came into the Four Horsemen, I mean, that's probably around the time, I believe, when WCW is, you know, really trying to grasp all the WWF wrestlers that they could. Eric Bischoff may have had a hand in it, maybe not, but that was towards when, you know, Eric Bischoff kind of maybe started having an influence, maybe not. I could be totally wrong on this. However, you know, that was one of, you know, he was a recognizable face with Power and Glory on WWF TV. Bring him over, put him in the Four Horsemen. Paul Roma was a mid-card, like you said. He could carry a match. I mean, he could, you know, pull his weight, whatever that means. But so that's probably maybe a reason why he was in it. I really don't think, no, he was not a good Four Horsemen member. Nobody would ever say that he was. If they do, then they need to stop watching wrestling and watch something else. But the Pretty Wonderful, you mentioned that. I do remember that. That was great with Paul Orndorff before he had his issues, health issues. But so, yeah, Paul Roma, I agree with the list. The list was really great put together tonight. So glad I could be part of it. And continue on, Chris. Thank you.
Fantastic, as always. All right, well, that concludes the show this week. Of course, as always, it's a wonderful show. Thanks for all of the listeners. Thanks for all of the people through Twitter. Thanks for all the people who's on the chat room. Next week, we will be here once again. Follow at Crave Wrestling on Twitter. Like Crave Wrestling on Facebook. Think about maybe leaking out. Yeah, might as well. Leak out. We're going to talk about most tragic wrestler deaths. So it'll be a little bit sobering, but it'll definitely be worth listening to. So, Bleacher Report, check me out on there. Thank you. But again, like I said, almost 3 million reads. Fantastic support. Thank you so much for all of you who continue to support my work. WrestlingInc.com. Check out my Retro Wednesday article coming up this Wednesday. CraveWrestling@gmail.com. Like I said, the sponsors and the people who want to advertise, we read such a wide, wide range of listeners. So you definitely will get a great deal of exposure, of more exposure, no matter if you're seasoned or if you're new. Definitely CraveWrestling@gmail.com to inquire about that. Thanks for the inquiry so far. All right, well, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be here next week, God willing. Until then, have a great week. Enjoy your Ricky Wrestling, and God bless. Goodbye.